Planes, trains, and automobiles. The latter two will get you from Savannah to Atlanta and back again right now. The push to add rail to the mix is on, though, with Amtrak proposing a line as part of its expansion plans, while state legislators discuss a high-speed rail connection. One of the lawmakers pushing for a study commission on the idea is Georgia House Rep. Carl Gilyard, who represents Garden City and other parts of western Chatham County. Representative Gilyard is our guest on today's Savannah Voices episode of the Commute Podcast, presented by National Office Systems. Welcome to The Commute this Thursday, April the 29th of 2021. I'm Adam Van Brimmer, opinion editor and columnist at the Savannah Morning News and SavannahNow.com. Representative Carl Gilyard is on the line and ready to share his insights as our weekly Savannah Voices guest. These episodes feature interviews with a regular Savannah Morning News columnist or a recent op-ed contributor. Find Carl's recent submission detailing the work the Georgia General Assembly has left to do on several issues at SavannahNow.com/opinion. As we go through the technical motions of connecting with Representative Gilyard via Zoom, I'll take this opportunity to tell you a little something more about the Commute's presenting sponsor, National Office Systems. Their name says it all. They are the source for office design and outfitting services in Savannah. We at the Savannah Morning News are proud to call ourselves clients, as are hundreds of other businesses in the Savannah area. National Office Systems has been serving this community for more than 30 years and works with the best suppliers in the business, from Savannah's own Dirt Modular Interiors, which manufactures configurable office environments, to office furniture superpower Herman Miller. Learn more by visiting natoffsys.com. That's natoffsys.com. Now, here's the Savannah Voices interview with Georgia House Rep. Carl. Pleased to be joined for this Savannah Voices episode by Representative Carl Gilyard, who is a frequent guest here on the podcast and is always very generous with his time. And not too long ago, he wrote a op-ed for the newspaper. I think it was 2 weeks ago. And at that point, Carl, you didn't really address the whole idea of a passenger rail service between Savannah and Atlanta, because it was a little bit out of sight, out of mind. It was before Amtrak had floated their proposal for adding that rail line between Savannah and Atlanta. But I also know that the whole idea of this passenger line has been a priority of yours for several years. You've been trying to push for a study commission to look at doing rail service, whether it's a high-speed rail or something more traditional. And I know that a lot of that stems from your personal experience, your personal knowledge of the old Nancy Hanks line. Can you kind of talk about where the whole idea of passenger rail from Savannah to Atlanta is, and why do you think it's so important?
Well, and Adam, thank you so much for being on my favorite vehicles to get the message across, and we really look forward to talking with you every time. My mother was an avid historian, and she talked about when they would ride the Nancy Hanks train from Savannah and in between the mediums of several towns to get to Atlanta. And it was an experience because they didn't have to pay much. And if you go back and look at the old prices for getting on that train, it was something else. But the least of thee could pay for transportation and see other areas of Georgia. And so when all things are considered, when I came into the House of Representatives, one of the things in being on the Transportation Committee was the focus of nonstop transportation since the inception. And every year when I would do the Eggs and Issue event, I would always say, I'm not going to give up. We're going to get the opportunity to have this study committee. So we went through a transition of different leadership. Kevin Tanner, who was the chair of our transportation, retired. And now we have Chairman Jaspers. I've always heard from them, it's a great idea. We want to do it. We just need to make it a second priority. We got to focus on the upper areas of Atlanta. There was a time that our delegation leadership from the House went to Japan and they tested the high-speed rail. So the reality right now is it is time.
It is time. But as you mentioned, I think the big concern or the big question with it is going to be expense, right? I mean, you talked about the old Nancy Hanks line, it was economical way to get from Savannah to Atlanta. How do we build, or how do we figure out how to put the different pieces of this line together to make it economically feasible to build? I mean, I think
operate is another discussion, but building it, I know just from looking at high-speed rail in California, it's incredibly expensive. How do we tackle it from an economic feasibility standpoint?
Well, the president is, you know, the timing, when I say timing is right, we've got a president who's saying build back better. $80 billion or so that's recently been given to Amtrak is an idea of what's to come. I don't think that this administration is afraid of the future in reference to the feasibility that it will take. There's also an hypothesis that there is infrastructure on 16 already. And I've got several emails from different people. We're exploring that. That is the purpose of the study committee, to go throughout looking at the feasibility to see what it will take projecting into Georgia's future transportation system. I think whatever the cost is, we need to move forward and looking at investing in it, because in the end, it's going to give a big return to all of Georgia, not just Savannah, Atlanta, but the rural areas. I call it the have or the have nots. There are a lot of rural areas that just don't have any source of transportation.
If this thing were to route through Macon, if it were to route through Dublin or route through Statesboro, what are you hearing from the folks in those areas about their prospects for being a little bit of a part of this project?
Dublin has been a part of the parable, making, of course, those stops and those in between. I think as we go to the Georgia Transportation Association, I'll be speaking there upcoming at their conference. I think we're getting a consensus from everyone in those areas that they want to be involved, especially the Dublins and the Macons, et cetera. I think we need to look at the possibilities of what it'll do for the economy in those areas, and to stimulate those rural areas that have been in a drought, especially since COVID-19. I think it can only help, especially Middle Georgia.
You saw the pictures in the paper of the old Nancy Hanks train tracks with trees in the middle. When I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, you know, it's kind of hard to imagine that. I think 1971 was when it stopped running. So 50 years ago, I mean, this thing was going on. Is it kind of like a lost opportunity when you think about the fact that this went away and we can't just reinstitute it? Or is it, hey, this gives us a new opportunity to build back better, as you were talking about before?
Well, even in the areas of tourism, 16.5 million or more, I hope Joy Marinelli or Michael Owens don't beat me down for the numbers. But one of the things is that it's historical. It was a dome car. It was, you know, renovated in what I think around 1960 or so, became the Nancy Hanks II. But right in my district is where the station was. And so that's history that we don't talk about. Can you imagine not only if we get the transportation from Savannah to Atlanta, but to reinstate the history of Nancy Hanks right here in Savannah? That alone is a tourist attraction. And it's historical. But it's come a long way from the dome, you know, the dome cars of yesteryear. Was it 1971 or so that the final train took its ride? But it's just exciting to see where we're going to go. Amtrak is Amtrak. It's a fast, consistent source of transportation. Here again, that is right in my district also, in the Garden City area. But just to see the possibilities.
Tourism is one thing, but as somebody who makes that drive for work quite a bit, as you do, and I know that there's a lot of other business leaders in town who over the years I've heard talk about, hey, you know, I've got to be at the headquarters in Atlanta or the satellite office in Atlanta, and I hate that drive, or, you know, I hate spending $250 to fly, you know, on an airplane that basically just goes up in the air and before they even get to the cruising altitude, they're coming back down. From a business standpoint, how much of a boom could this be?
Tremendous. A lot of times I talk to representatives like Roger Bruce in Atlanta, and I say, you all have it so well. You get so many invitations about very pertinent things that can benefit your communities or networking or even doing business, but you're right there at the Capitol. And so the frustration is probably 3/4 of our invitations we might not get a chance to take advantage of because it's too much. On the business level, it gives the small persons those. I'll give you a very humorous story, but it's true. 99% of the people, when I go up to the Capitol, and man, I'm coming down to Savannah, I want to get some of that seafood. I want to get some of that. No place like Savannah. And so there's no seafood in Atlanta like Savannah seafood. And so when I do the Savannah seafood sample in the Capitol, it's packed out. Here's the thing. Can you imagine people coming into Savannah just to take advantage of what we have, from tourism to the scenery to seafood? And likewise for those other areas in Atlanta that other folk would like to go and do business and to be able to connect with others, to meet and come back home. What a joy it would be to go to the Capitol in session and come back home and not have to worry about coming back home on the weekends up and down to, you know, I-16.
So the Amtrak proposal, of course, is contingent on the infrastructure bill passing. We're not there yet with Congress and the folks in Washington doing that. Is that said, the time is, as you said earlier, the time is now to get this commission going. Is it, if you get the commission going this next session, do you think that you can get down the road and be on track to, pardon the pun, to be ready to do this rail line in the next?
No, Adam, you asked me a hypothetical question.
Right.
You know, they call me the James Brown of the legislature. I work harder than anybody to anybody. And I just believe the timing is immaculate with the new chairman, Chairman Jaspers, who's receptive. I believe that, and I'm lobbying several of the members of the Transportation Committee now to say, we need this study committee, and I'm going to talk to the speaker. And so this is, if you've ever seen me in motion, this will be my most effective sprint, that I'm really going to lobby for this, because I just think we will miss the opportunity. The study committee, what that will represent is to travel around the state and not only get consensus from people, but the professionals, the persons that know the dollars in the sense of infrastructure, to get with those engineers, to look at the other areas of other cities and places that are doing it, and try to kind of put together a marble, a pottery for Georgia to make it meet what we see this train will be for Georgia. And I think it'll be the greatest investment that we've done in a long time. A lot of times the focus is MARTA up in Atlanta, the transportation system up in Atlanta. We got to get it right in Atlanta, 5-year plan, a 10-year plan. We have got to look at, we that are down here in the southern parts of Georgia, and look at the possibilities of being able to grow and connect with others. And so here again, we're going to work hard to lobby even our other constituents. We need them to be involved and call their legislators, but we're going to lobby our own possibilities of those other state representatives, the speaker, and Chairman Jaspers.
Well, I can tell you that since we started running stories on this, the interest has been incredible. It's certainly something everybody's tuned into and enjoyed looking forward to. So,
I'm breaking into this interview to tell you about the Commute Sister podcast, Difference Makers. Twice a month, we feature leaders making a difference in the Savannah community. Our most recent guest is Bishop Stephen Parks, leader of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Savannah. He opens up about himself, his journey to the priesthood, and about the challenges the church faces on this prophet. He opens up about himself, his journey to the priesthood, and about the challenges the church faces. Find the podcast by searching Savannah Difference Makers on your favorite podcast app. Now, back to Representative Carl Gilliard.
Let me shift gears on you real quick and talk about something that the Governor Kemp signed into law just the other day, and that is the Chatham County Gang Prevention and Intervention Commission, which is another one of the projects that you've worked very, very hard on. Can you tell us what that commission will do and what you hope the outcomes are?
You know, Adam, sometimes when I talk in these different events, I believe that I'm trying to give the most pertinent information about what's going on. And years ago, I said that Georgia has a problem with 71,000 identified gang members. We say identified, not to mention even, and the sheriff will tell you, even in our Chatham County Jail, we have several entities of gangs. The gangs don't reflect Black or white, Vietnamese, Hispanic. They're all ethnicities. And what's happening in Georgia, we got a problem that not only are we having problems with gangs, and we have sex trafficking, then we have the drug addictions and the usage of. But in Chatham County, we have an opportunity. About 3 years ago, I started with the Georgia Gang Prevention and Intervention Commission. We got it passed in the House of Representatives, and it was a tedious journey. We really worked it. We had people from the Georgia Municipal Association to the Sheriff's Association, district attorneys, trial lawyers. Everybody was very much in support of it across the state. We had a study committee. The speaker granted me, I think it was House of Resolution 525. And all over the state, we got support from all over. We got it passed in the House of Representatives, and then COVID kicked in. We didn't get a chance to get it in the Senate. This year, I thought I'd take another approach because there was so much going on politically in the House and in the Senate. I said, I'm going to be a little selfish, and we're going to take it and make it a Chatham County Gang Prevention Intervention Commission. And we want to use this as a model for the state. We'll start billing this now. And in 2023, we'll have some movement with some evidence of things that we see that are working. And we'll look at taking it statewide to take it back into the House and the Senate. What the Chatham County Gang Prevention Intervention Commission is we've got municipalities from law enforcement all over, and everybody's doing their own thing. So the bill requires to give a representative from a chief of police from every municipality or an appointee, and representatives from all the other municipalities as citizens. And these are individuals. Like I've already talked to Vince Del Monte from the Frank Kellen Boys and Girls Club, and Crystal McGee from the YMCA, and Joel. So we're talking about people that already work with you. We're talking about DFACS. We're talking about the superintendent of the schools. We're talking about everyone that has young people in their grips. We're focusing on early learning to middle school, not leaving out the high school, but the main concentration is the early learning, because the average the average prison or jail is predicated now on the IQ of a third grader. They can look at the IQ of a third grader and know how many jails and prisons to the capacity that they need to build because of a person's education and all the above. And so we focus on, you know, early intervention, after school programs, what's working, what's not working. We put together a master plan. That master plan will not only go to the state, but it'll go back to those municipalities. We want to buy in from those municipalities. We want one plan, one movement, one effort to eradicate and break the cycle of our young people going into gangs. It's real. Young people are being recruited in elementary school. You can go into middle school and say, how many of you know someone that has access to an illegal gun? You'll see their hands raised. How many of you know someone that has been murdered in Chatham County? You'll see their hands raised. How many of you have been involved with gangs? You might not see them want to raise their hands, but it's around them so bad that they're afraid to raise their hands. So I feel pretty good that the governor came down on April 21st and signed it into law, and we're going to move forward to focus on breaking that cycle.
Right. And obviously you're putting the commission together now. When do you start to execute on that? Is it as early as when school starts back this fall?
We're moving now. We're getting people in place. We're hopefully by the end of next week, going into the first week of May, we will have our appointees. We're going to move fast and furious on getting it together, because they're going to come to the delegation. Hopefully, they'll be able to come before we go back in session and present a preliminary plan of what they want to do looking forward. And we just want to give them the support that we need. I want to thank the Chatham County delegation, because they have supported it unanimously from the House to the Senate. So it wouldn't have been possible without their support.
The last thing I want to talk to you about is something that is top of mind right now, and that's the fact that there is an open seat on your delegation. Technically, it's not open yet because the resignation of Mickey Stevens has not been submitted to the governor. So therefore, it is until he actually does that, he will remain in the seat. But he's made it clear, he gave a farewell address the eve of signing dies, so the next to the last day before the session ended, that he was stepping down, and he was stepping away for his health reasons. Obviously, we're really going to miss Mickey, because he was such a strident voice and such a consistent voice and a respected voice up there. But as you look to an opening, what do you think the delegation will really need most out of moving ahead with with filling that seat? And what have you missed most because of Mickey's limited role in the last couple of years?
Well, I here again, I go to say that Chatham County delegation is truly, to me, the best delegation in the state. You got a cadre of people that work together. And we truly try to champion as a delegation the needs of Chatham County before we think about our own individual needs. Mickey has always been that person that would tell it like it is. And we needed him in the room, especially during this last session. We needed him in the room for local legislation. But he would always tell it like it is, and he didn't hide or hold anything. He didn't have a secret agenda. We missed that. With that, even his seniority was a big plus. We missed that. I would become the senior Democrat in the legislature. And my thing is that I understand that big shoes to stand in, but we do need representation. It's been a little harder on I know myself, I can only say, because we haven't had the full representation all across. And there were times that if I needed to lean on the question or ask for the support, we just need representation. We don't need the seat to be void for another term. We need to have that seat filled. I know that there's a lot of pressure on the family. And Ms. Stevens, she's echoed that, we appreciate all of the leadership of the Honorable Representative Mickey Stevens. But as we move forward, we definitely look forward to whoever will fill that seat. I know that there are several people that are out there already.
Right.
Whoever comes in those shoes of Mickey Stevens, they should know that the Chatham County delegation is a very special delegation. And it's never about I. It has to be about we. It's so important. I'll preach that beyond, because people have to understand that we really do have work to do. And you can't do it by yourself. If you think you're Superman or Superwoman, you go into the phone booth with those glasses. If you try to come out with a cape and think that you can fly by yourself, you can't do it.
Right. It's going to be a really interesting election cycle when it finally does come. We have people like Edna Jackson throwing their name back into the political ring. It certainly gets everybody's attention. And as you said, the most important thing, though, is getting representation for those 60-some thousand people that live on the east side of town and in the east side of Chatham County, and get them some representation back.
Yeah, there are several individuals that are, there are four candidates that have already that I know of. And it's just kind of everybody wants to serve. Dr. King talked about the drum major instinct. And my message is, we just got to lead with passion and commitment and never take it about the name tag. We have work to do. I would hope that whoever takes that seat takes that very seriously.
Carl, it's always good to talk to you, and never feel like we have enough time, but we'll definitely circle back with you. And especially if this train keeps rolling, it's going to be a hot topic for quite a while.
Adam, if this train, I believe this train will roll. When this train rolls, I'm going to get on that train, go to Atlanta, get me a good cup of coffee, as I'm a coffee connoisseur, and I'll invite you on the train. It'll be the midnight train to Georgia.
That's it. We'll sit there in the front row, you and me.
There you go.
All right. Thanks, Carl.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That's all for this episode of The Commute. One more thank you to our presenting sponsor, National Office Systems. If you enjoyed this episode of The Commute and want to hear more, download archived episodes on your favorite podcast app by searching The Commute with @SavannahOpinion. Good thing you found this episode, so you already know the way. On behalf of producer Zach Dennis, thank you for listening. The Commute returns next Tuesday. Enjoy your weekend.